Margaret Prescott. I'd like to thank the Sojourner Truth team, our assistant producer, Romero Funes, and also our board op today, Kiana Williams. Got that right today, Kiana. If you'd like a copy of today's show, please contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230. Go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. Sojourner Truth will be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. This is KBOO Portland. Press Watch is next at 9:30. It's Fight the Empire. Per Foggering takes your calls, looks at the U.S. media, Trump and Putin. Air Cascadia at 10:15. Flashpoints at 11 on Between the Covers. David Naiman talks to Chelsea Hodson about her new book of essays called Tonight I'm Someone Else. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm, click on Donate. Press Watch next. It's 9 o'clock.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Pass the Mic on Friday, July 20th from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Franklin High School in Portland. Pass the Mic aims to decrease isolation and find ways to connect youth, to carve out their own expressive safe space, and to share it in their own creative terms. This five-day music camp culminates in a closing concert by the Immigrant and Refugee Youth Campers, featuring their bands and performances created during the week. Again, that's Pass the Mic on Friday, July 20th from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Franklin High School, 5405 Southeast Woodward Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, I wanted to be broadcasting live from the Occupy ICE PDX KBOO booth, but as it turns out, traffic was so bad this morning, I wasn't able to get down there. And that's too bad because I really support that effort. I feel that that is a last stand, a last ditch, good faith effort with nonviolence to confront the mounting and terrifying fascism of the Trump administration as expressed through Homeland Security, Fatherland Insecurity, as I call it, and through the ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which was created after the stunts of 9/11 in order to double down on brutal immigration enforcement and to deny the hopes of refugees from around the world. I think that the Occupy ICE PDX camp, which is next to the ICE building, which shut down the ICE building for quite a while, is the best thing that we have to offer right now. It's they didn't actually take over the building like the Germans did when the Stasi fell after the fall of the Berlin Wall, but they confronted it. And with nonviolence, and they continue to be there and to raise the question that must be raised, where are the children? Where are the children? And so I'm going to get to that topic shortly. But since I'm not at the ICE compound, that means that you can call in with your comments and questions. And maybe you would like to talk about what's been going on with the Trump administration and with the hapless president, I think the Democratic Party is feeling very humiliated by their trouncing in the 2016 elections, and I think they now realize that they must press hard against the Republicans to regain power. I have mixed feelings about what I perceive are their methods. I think that CNN, for example, has realized that they've been targeted so directly by the presidential administration. I think that they have just entirely gone over to the Democratic camp. I recently had a couple of longtime left journalists on air who are parroting the official line on CNN, namely that the really horrible thing about Trump is that he does not respect the U.S. secret police and their investigation and exposure of his collusion with the Russian secret police. I've spent much of my public life trying to expose the depredations of the U.S. secret police, however, and I view that as that's my alley, because I am, after all, from the U.S. and don't know that much about the Russian secret police. But I'm not about to jump on the bandwagon that I see CNN on. Trump's U.S. secret police are bad enough. Trump's worst qualities are that he is a miseducated, venal, racist fool. I think that it is now obvious from the work of journalists at, for example, CNN and the UK Guardian, that Trump did indeed collude with agents of the Russian government in order to gain the presidency. But that doesn't mean that that was the actual effective means of gaining the presidency. The effective means of gaining the presidency with 63 million votes for and 66 million votes against him were done by the Republican Party with its gerrymandering and its vote caging, its closure of polls, its denial of democratic process. And that doesn't mean that the FBI that invented the word COINTELPRO, and the CIA that invented the Phoenix assassination and torture program are now your hale and hearty friends. I tried to point out, as David Korn tried to shout me down a couple of weeks ago, that the CIA, using its so-called National Endowment for Democracy, often derided as the National Endowment for Death Squads, funded Boris Yeltsin. And the difficult thing about saying that to my fellow Americans is that most people who even recognize the name Boris Yeltsin believe that he was a great man who brought democracy to Russia. In fact, he was a Trump-like fascist, an obnoxious alcoholic, and so opposed to democratic process that he launched artillery shells against his own parliament until they surrendered to his point of view. That is the opposite of democracy. And it's always been promoted by U.S. secret police agencies like the CIA, which is actually a war agency. And when I hear from outraged Democratic Party operatives that Russia is not the moral equivalent of the USA, I scoff, not out of disloyalty to my country, but out of loyalty to the truth. As a citizen of the United States, I do no one any favors by pretending that this charade of moral piety is legitimate. Sure, the Russian government stinks. Putin stinks. Trump stinks. He's a gullible, stupid man, and yes, the Russians probably launched their election meddling to counter and take revenge against U.S. continuous anti-democratic action in Russia and in Ukraine. Victoria Nuland, who pops up on CNN all the time, is not a champion of democracy, but literally an international meddler who helped literal Nazis get literal war weaponry in Ukraine. It's not just anti-Trump or pro-Russian rhetoric, it's just the plain facts. It's also a fact that 68% of Republicans, again, on a poll mentioned in CNN just this morning, think that the idiot Trump is a negotiating genius who did a great job in Helsinki versus Putin. Think about that for a moment. 68% of Republicans polled. That's the really significant takeaway from the treason summit, not that Putin showed that he could easily suborn the jackass American president, but that he could do so, Trump could blatantly lie about it the next day and still have goose-stepping fanaticism in his putrescent base. Millions upon millions of Americans who would shoot you dead if he told them to, and I am very aware that in the short term, the only way to remove the Republican fascist hegemony is to vote them out with the competing corporate-owned party. But I also think that there are many millions of people who are ready for an outbreak of real democracy in this country, and you can bet both major political parties are dead set against that. Do you have opinions? Call in 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. 8187. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, talking about the Occupy ICE camp, which is right next to the ICE building, Immigration and Customs Enforcement Dungeon at 4310 Southwest McAdam Avenue in Portland. They're still there. The KBOO booth or tent is still there, and they're still holding forth, hoping that Americans can be convinced by their gesture, by their act of free speech, by their act of petitioning their government for redress of grievances, as the First Amendment says, to act against the horrific fascism that has resulted incredibly in little kids being jailed and little kids being brought into court, kids who don't even speak English being brought into an English-speaking court without attorneys. The ridiculous and fascistic, and yes, I use that word very advisedly, we are now fascist. Congratulations, America. The fascist scene of little kids being brought into a court, the Kafka-esque, it's worse than Kafka-esque. In Kafka's novels, when one was brought into court, one was an adult and spoke the same language as the people accusing. And so many Americans have decided this is unbearable. This is as far as it can possibly go. This is it. And so I'm very proud to be associated to whatever small degree with the Occupy ICE camp, because as I was saying before, this is the last stand. This is it. The Oregonian has reported on some of the arrests, and they bring the number of arrests to 19. I'm not sure if that number is exactly correct, but going over their article, they point out that there were 8 protesters arrested on the 11th of July, 3 on the 9th, 7 on June 28th for blocking the entrance, trying to stop those prison vans that come and go from that nasty little prison. And the fence, they write, the article, you can find it in the Oregonian, article by Anna Spohr, says that fence that was installed around sections of the facility that was in violation of city code will remain in place despite a notice being issued. And it quotes City Councilman Dan Saltzman saying that, it doesn't quote him, but it says that he's the source of saying that there are many code violations occurring at the site, including those of the encampment. So allegedly to be even-handed, if I understand correctly, they are not taking down that additional fence around the ICE building. However, the camp is still there because in large part because the federal troops who are now in the ICE building don't have jurisdiction to take people off of the adjoining easement, which is actually owned by TriMet, by the Regional Transportation Authority, TriMet. And that authority has not seen fit to enforce their property rights there. And as far as that goes, I'm proud of that. I'm proud that it's Oregon Senator Merkley that got this all started by showing up at one of the dungeons in Texas and asking that question that needs to be asked, where are the children? Number call 503-231-8187, and Roger's on the line.
Hi. I agree with most of what you were saying about the Russiagate thing, but I'm in the sort of Ray McGovern camp, and William Binney reported in like Consortium News and places that there really isn't any evidence, and anything we've received is indictments which claim to have evidence.
Evidence of what? I'm sorry.
What's that?
Evidence of what?
Of the Russians hacking into our elections, or the whole the whole spiel. I mean, we have NSA PowerPoint presentation that Reality Winner, stumbled on, might have been planted, which indicates that there was hacking into state elections, and we have Ray McGovern and William Binney analysis that the emails were downloaded into like a flash drive, not hacked. And they've done forensic evidence of that.
Okay, well, that's I think you're talking about when you say hacking, you're talking about direct control of vote results, I assume.
No, I'm saying there's all this there's no question that the Russians interfered in our elections.
It's pretty obvious at this point. Yes,
it's not a done deal.
I think that the journalism from UK Guardian and even from CNN has been pretty good on this. And I had Korn and Isakov. I think their work was good. The Guardian's man, whose name escapes me right now, did a very thorough research. And I think it's very clear that the Russians interfered. I don't know why you would say otherwise.
Well, I just think that it's not absolutely certain. For instance, like the whole Vault 7 that was released, that showed how the CIA has and the NSA and people have the ability to plant fake evidence that certain stuff came from different places, like Lucifer or whatever his name was. That's probably a fiction possibly created by our intelligence people to paint this picture.
Well, I'm not going to take the side of the U.S. Intelligence agencies that have been denouncing all these years for their depredations. But aside from that, I would not dispute, and I don't see why you would dispute that the Russians actually interfered with the elections. And I can see their motivation for interfering with the elections. It's tit for tat. They're retaliating.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm sure they're doing a certain amount, and as you pointed out, the U.S. has done lots and lots of interfering in other people's elections and continues to do so and probably always will. And if we don't succeed in that, we overthrow the government or we have a coup or whatever, or start a war.
Well, what do you conclude from what you were saying?
What do I conclude? No, I don't conclude anything. I'm just saying that when I read Ray McGovern and I read other people on who say that the evidence that we have is mostly presented by people from the intelligence community. It's not like, and we have their word for it that it's true. Just like they say there were WMDs in Iraq and there weren't.
Well,
and
that fellow Steele that did the dossier is also problematic. For example, he's a hired gun, and he had on behalf of the vulture capitalist. Let's see, what the hell is his name? Singer, I think.
Yeah.
He had investigated Greg Palast in a very nasty way. But if you bring it all together, from my point of view, and it is worthwhile to read Ray McGovern, certainly.
Well, actually, while you mentioned Steele, there's the whole thing with the Porton Down and Pedro Miller, who recruited Skripal. And, that whole thing reeks on ice. I mean,
I think we have to gestalt in a situation like this, and we can't take what the U.S. intelligence community, the secret police, say on its face because they are so given to deception. I mean, 9/11 was entirely a deception. It came out of largely the intelligence community as directed by Cheney and Rumsfeld. So there's that. But my gestalt is pretty firm after all this time. That, the Russians did interfere. I've got no problem with that. And I really appreciate you calling in with your information and mentioning McGovern, which is...
Yeah, and I'll also say I believe Mark Lane when he says the CIA killed Kennedy. So, let you get back. Your wonderful analysis of everything in general. I love your show.
Well, thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think, we can get down to that. Yeah, I think that they did. They used the mob. They used Cubans. It's all confusing in that way, but... Dulles hated him because he blocked the Bay of Pigs from going through the way that they wanted air support. That's a whole nother story, of course. I've been talking about the treason summit. And I've been talking about how that's being handled, and the efforts that I see from the corporate press and from the Democratic Party to regain power. And I do think that there's a whole lot of misdirection in that. And as I was saying, we don't even need that business. We don't need the treason summit to need to get rid of Trump, because he's a fascist. He's introduced fascism. He's introduced horrible racist fascism that should humiliate every American. And that's enough. And that's what the ICE camp is confronting. So the number to call, 503-231-8187. And I'll go to Joe.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
So it's just been a blur, so I had to kind of piece my recollection of this together. But in listening to some of the coverage on NPR over the last few days, which is my my source for at least getting the broad outlines of what's being alleged here and there, but there was a really telling interview with a very frustrated General Hayden about the whole intelligence apparatus. And I don't know if you happened to catch anything or even
No, I'm not familiar with that interview, no.
Okay, so this is the gist of what happened. So at some point he was so frustrated in trying to get across what was so important about Trump's performance in Helsinki that he had to carefully explain, and he just made this like an aside. He said, okay, you've got to understand espionage. And he pretty much said right out there in the public, and I haven't seen any response to it yet or any follow-up by NPR, he said it's an activity that would otherwise be illegal but is accepted and necessary as a necessary and okay thing when these acts are done for, and I believe I can quote this one, a higher moral purpose. And so he was saying that as long as we're the ones with the white hats, then the ends justify the means, and we get to do this espionage.
Yeah, it comes down to the loyalty thing. The idea that loyalty, and I would say most Trump supporters feel that loyalty is the equivalent of conscience. More for them, loyalty is more important than conscience or of an analysis that would lead to a decision on where to go on a moral compass. For them, loyalty is everything.
Yeah, and that's an important point. And I just think that it is finally it just caught me by surprise that somebody who is central to at least under the Obama administration, who was right in the middle of the intelligence collection business, was able to kind of put this very very chilling definition. And
because he's implying that there is a moral equivalence, and but they won't come out quite and say that. And I think, you know, from what you're saying, he's also implying that and that's what the conformists are so up in arms about, is that Trump is such a narcissist that he would rather go through with being suborned by Putin than stand up for his own country, and he's the president, and that's terrifying. I'm going to go to a little bit more information about ICE, and I really appreciate you calling in. I may
sure.
be able to take
yeah,
another call, but I'm getting towards the bottom of the hour. Parafogging's coming up at 9:30, and I think he will also be addressing this topic. But from Newsweek, Democratic senators have come up with a new bill, and they're calling it the Reunite Bill. It stands for Reunite Every Unaccompanied Newborn Infant, Toddler, and Other Children Expeditiously. And it was introduced by Democratic Senators Kamala Harris, Jeff Merkley of Oregon, and Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada. And they write, it aims to see family reunification expedited and calls for the establishment of a permanent system to ensure the protection of detained immigrants with children. I usually don't. I don't like to use Newsweek as a source. But this brings me back to why I wanted to broadcast from the Occupy ICE camp, from the Occupy ICE PDX camp, because this story is getting getting shouted down by Trump's antics and by a number of other things, but we're still facing this shocking fascism that's got toddlers going to face judges, toddlers in cages. They write, the Trump administration is currently racing to meet a July 26th court-ordered deadline to reunify children with their parents. And this is a different use of the word racing. Wasn't aware that one could engage in racing while dragging one's feet. But going further with their text from, as I was saying, Newsweek, three senators said government inactivity was to blame for the administration's failure to reunite thousands of children with their parents immediately after the widely condemned family separation practice was rescinded in June. And here again, this is the way Newsweek talks. The practice, of course, was not entirely rescinded. A gesture was made rescinding part of it, but they quote Harris saying, this is a crisis created by this administration and has resulted in thousands of children being ripped from their mothers and fathers. The government should be in the business of keeping families together and not tearing them apart. A stunning lack of transparency and accountability has left thousands of children in need of reunification. She said, that must happen immediately. We are better than this, end quote. And wouldn't you like to think that we're better than this? I submit that we now are not. Maybe we could become better than this. But as things stand right now, we Americans take little kids and put them in cages and then trot them out in front of judges, because that's who we are. That's Americans. That's you. That's what you're like. Right, continuing with the article, the new bill also seeks to create the presumption that parents will not be deported until their child's immigration proceeding is over or until the child turns 18, or if the child turns 18 is what they write. It also requires that the Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, and the Health and Human Services Department work together to establish an interagency office aimed at locating and reuniting children with parents to expedite and facilitate reunification. And it says that the bill demands that $50 million in appropriations from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency's Enforcement and Removal Operations Branch be redirected to cover the costs of enforcing the bill. So in the question, where are the children? At least we have Senator Merkley and a couple of other Democratic senators working on that. I have about run out of time. And you've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I will try to do my next broadcast from the Occupy ICE camp, unless, of course, the revolution triumphs from then, and in which case I'll try to broadcast from Washington, D.C. But right now you're listening to KBOO Portland, and we're broadcasting on 90.7 FM on our terrestrial transmitter, our red and white Eiffel Tower on the hill, and other frequencies in Cascadia, and we are also broadcasting on KBOO.FM around the world to you and to all the ships at sea. You've been listening to Press Watch, produced at KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. To hear previous shows, go to KBOO.FM/PressWatch.
KBOO has a tent set up at the Occupy ICE encampment in southwest Portland, where we are broadcasting and webcasting live reports from the camp.
Protesters have created a community of resistance since June 17th to protest the deportation and separation of families by the U.S.
U.S. Department of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE.
ICE, check our website for a schedule of upcoming broadcasts and listen to our past interviews at kboo.fm/occupyice.
ICE. Well, good morning. This is Per Fagring, and the show is Fight the Empire. And the theme for today is from a statement by Malcolm X. And he said, "I'm for truth, no matter who says it." So that's what we're going to kind of focus on, or try to focus on. I'd like to say that my conclusion about Donald Trump is that, yeah, Trump is crazy. He's very obviously crazy. The only problem is that a lot of his opponents, they are crazy too, but they are crazy in a very different way. They are much more calm and rational, and they have their very quiet fixations. And a good example of that was the late Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a big foreign policy advisor in the Washington establishment. Now, he grew up in Poland, and his fixation was on freeing Poland from the Soviet Union. Great, okay. And in furtherance of that fixation, when he was the foreign policy advisor to President Jimmy Carter, he got maneuvered got the Soviets to invade Afghanistan. And which is what actually gave Osama bin Laden his start in world affairs. And a lot of people think that, well, the that